All right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast, NBA podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck in person, and for the first time in podcast history, John from a remote location at death's doorstep.
That's awful. You okay, buddy?
I'm just doing a little Donald Trump tribute act over here, sniffling little, like I'm debating.
Little sniffle, sniffle, sniffle. Yeah, so we are recording
little blow cane at the debate.
With some different audio setup. It's different for what Chuck and myself can hear. And we're doing some different things. We're not sure we trust the cheap audio that we've set up this way, but hopefully it'll sound good enough for our higher than average standards.
Full disclosure, I think the guys thought that maybe, just maybe, I could find a way to not be late since I didn't have to leave my own home. Still found a way.
Still late.
Well, I have long maintained we should do these things, which we can do them remotely, which in my mind would ensure you being on time.
But
if you could just call in from your own house. But, well, should what we know.
It's the new way.
Yeah. All right. Well, before we get much farther and dive into the new reality that is a World Series winning Cubs world.
Yeah.
Never.
That's the big upset.
I never knew what that felt like. So that's what we have to feel. No, but did we guys?
It all makes sense now, doesn't it?
It really does.
These things should not have happened. Mm-hmm.
Did we have a chance to eat breakfast?
Biff is president now.
I think now more than ever, breakfast is very, very important.
It's so important. I'll talk about what I had today.
What'd you have, Chuck?
So in order to talk about what I had for breakfast, I had to talk about the night I had last night, which... I refused to watch election coverage.
Broad strokes, Chuck.
Broad strokes. Refused to watch election coverage, so I hung out with who decided she wanted to get drunk with me. We did a East Nashville bar crawl and went to 6 bars in 2 hours.
Oh.
And then ended up at Mercy Lounge, which is a music venue, that the door guy, who I know, didn't let her in because she was too drunk, so we had to go home. So I brought her home and woke up.
That's literally never happened before.
It's never, they never tell anyone they can't go in.
There are no, that place is Westworld.
So we went home, woke up this morning, and I had to go to Pizza Perfect on.
Kind of friend of the show, Pizza Perfect.
Yeah, we went to a pizza place because it was the only thing up when we groggily got out of bed.
Did you get kicked out of Pizza Perfect, like, and do the right thing, and then a riot started?
Yeah, and I wore my...
Did you start a race
I
riot?
I wore my four finger rings of love and hate. But yeah, I had a thick hunter's pie slice, which is a Sicilian-type slice, or like a thick square pizza slice, not the traditional circle pizza. And the hunter's pie has got all meat, so it was bacon, sausage, pepperoni, Canadian bacon. And then I went with a cheese slice as well to wash away my sorrows with a Miller Lite. So
that so much better than my
in
breakfast.
In this new paradigm that we are in, I also had pizza for breakfast.
We didn't even talk about this.
Yeah, we didn't coordinate this. But mine was leftover.
Okay.
From the night before, just a slice of pepperoni and mushroom pizza. Not healthy.
We're eating away our sorrows.
Not wholesome.
Yeah.
John, what did you have?
I believe they call that stress eating.
John, what did you end up having?
Well, in my realm of snotty dysentery, I had an orange Gatorade, which I'm currently still nursing one of my 20 Gatorades I purchased, in addition to seething hatred for my fellow man and especially suburban white females.
Who aren't listening.
Well, it turns out we have a very small number of suburban white female listeners based on our demographics, so no one to offend there.
And also, I'm going to assume a lot of, and I'm sure we have some listeners who are Trump fans, and I'm not going to disparage you at all. I want to hope to eventually build dialogue and to really make our country better. But most people who watch...
I'm going to build a wall around me.
Most people who watch the NBA and are fans of that sport probably aren't Trump people, I think, in general.
I mean, I made the joke that Adam Silver moved the All-Star game from North Carolina over much less egregious things than Trump has, or just we've just elected to the White House. But anyway, let's not wallow. Mm-hmm. We're not here to wallow. What we are here to talk some NBA basketball.
Kind of wallowing.
And to do our breakfast in bed apologies, which follows our breakfasts. And this is our chance to make right for what we might have gotten wrong in any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Well,
John,
I will go first. I would like to apologize to the Oklahoma City Thunder organization for assuming they were awful, bad, no good, and terrible. And they are now 6-1. Their only loss coming to the storied Golden State Warriors. And I've only watched two games.
Disclosure.
Disclosure of the Warriors. One where they got destroyed. But I just don't think the team is as bad as we thought. Westbrook can elevate that that roster, I think, significantly. And they will be an 8 seed, I think. I think 6-1 is obviously unsustainable. But I think they can probably eke out about 47 wins, 50 wins, and make it, you know, 8-7-6 seed in the West. So
I'm with you there, Chuck, because this is a team that I said last week was 3-0, but I still thought I felt good about their under.
Yeah.
I mean, they're now 6-1. They still have played, again, a lighter schedule. Mm-hmm. They've played a lot of games at home, but like their defense has been really, really good.
Right.
And maybe that's enough. Maybe just having the transcendent Russell Westbrook taking over games and scoring, and then having a really solid defense is enough. So yeah, I'm with you. I almost wanted to do that same apology, Chuck.
Kind of a death blow to the idea that Serge Ibaka is like an elite game changing defender.
You know what else is a death blow to that? Watching Serge Ibaka play basketball,
right?
On the Orlando Magic,
heaving threes, yeah. Ibaka
and Sam Presti for choosing Ibaka over James Harden, who is now averaging 15 assists a game, apparently. So like that organization when they played Miami in 2012 in the playoffs or in the finals, I said that I am afraid of them. They will be good for a long time, and management effed it up. So it's
one of the great what ifs.
Yeah, what ifs?
If they all kept rolling together. My apology. I'm gonna borrow from you guys and apologize for someone else, not my actual self. I'm gonna apologize for the Sacramento Kings, and maybe not for what you think. I'm apologizing on behalf of the Sacramento Kings for having their cold hard Coors Light fact presented about a man who struggles with alcohol abuse, Ty Lawson. Come on, guys. I know maybe this is just corporate America sports broadcasting, but having like a picture of Ty Lawson with a Coors Light logo over him,
right,
being like, your cold hard Coors Light, cold hard fact, Ty Lawson has 10 assists and whatever. Like, it's like, guys, maybe no.
Your cold hard Coors Light fact of the day, my Ty Lawson has 6 DUIs. That's right.
So maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm being oversensitive. Liberal Keith, but I was like, this is, doesn't seem. I know we've tastelessly made fun of Ty Lawson, but
the man's got.
I thought maybe that wasn't the best look for the Sacramento Kings. So that's my kind of, I guess, you know, sort of apology.
That was the most Keith apology.
Normally,
of all time.
I apologize straight up for something I got wrong factually.
What about you, John? What you got?
He just spread misery on this already sandwich. I'm going to apologize to Knicks fans. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Phil Jackson has not only started baying at the moon about the triangle not being used enough, he also has put world's worst coach and Keith lookalike Kurt Rambis in charge of their already league worst defense. Oh my God.
Downright hilarious. I mean, this is a man who had the team play worst defense under him when he was coaching and when he was running the defense. And so now 6 games in, after Courtney Lee and other players called them out in practice for like, maybe our defense shouldn't be practicing against our triangle running offense.
Because no one does.
Yeah, because no one else is doing this. So now poor Knicks fans. Yeah. I feel sorry for you, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and who knew that the triangle is just completely worthless without a top 5 all-time great player.
I mean, they're still doing kind of okay, the Knicks are, when they're just letting Porzingis shoot.
I mean,
most of the games he's getting a bunch of shots off, and
they're
still
2-4,
scoring at a great
rate.
But
they honestly look better than I thought they would have. I mean, and Keith is not wrong in that it is like when Porzingis gets lots of looks, they seem like a pretty good team. When he's the focal point of the offense,
shocking,
they seem like a pretty good team.
Do you know what's gross? I was watching the Knicks the other day, and I said to myself, this team would be great if they had Jeremy Lin instead of Derrick Rose.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I know like other in New York media talk about that.
Really?
Although someone, I was talking to someone, I think it was the David Wurzberger who covers the Nets, but is a Knicks fan. He was saying how as a Knicks fan, he thought like that bridge had burned with Jeremy Lin in New York. Right. And he was kind of happy, even though he thinks Jeremy Lin is better than Derrick Rose, he thought the bridge being burned between the fans would have been too weird.
Yeah.
Him coming back to New York. In very John fashion, you also apologized for someone else, not yourself, for getting the facts wrong when presenting your game of scones last week. Confusing.
I really felt like it was more you just not being able to understand.
Listeners
anything,
and hosts. So. I mean, if you listen back, mm-hmm. we asked several times if it was points per game,
right?
And you said no. You said yes. Yeah. And it turns out it was not points per game.
But I listened back. Initially, I said the right thing.
No, you
and
did.
And then I was questioned and fell from the skies. I also just feel like that was a boring thing to talk about that we're talking about.
Well,
now.
I would say for our listeners, changes will be put in place for future Game of Scones.
We're going to have to write these
I think
down.
We're going to start writing out the questions. Because I will say, it is hard. Like when I present John and Chuck a Game of Scones and I present the thing they have to do, which I will be doing later in this show.
Oh, God.
I don't know how many of you guys out there have recorded yourself talking while doing things. It's hard to listen and compute all these things. It's the least we can do is to read the things we've already written down in front of our faces on this podcast.
Heard.
Those were
writing isn't real anymore. No one writes anymore. It's too tactile.
Those were our breakfast in bed apologies. Before we get to our steak and eggs, I want to tell you about Loot Crate. Are you on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles? Well, Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month. If you're more of a fanatical fashionista, then Loot Wear, our monthly wearables and accessories subscription, will fill your closet with cult classics and your favorite franchises. So get your wands ready, and that sounds sexual to me, because November's enchanting theme is magic. Get the 100% exclusive crate featuring bewitching items from Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and Big Trouble in Little China, and more. You have until the 19th to subscribe and get this month's crate. So make sure you head to lootcrate.com/fastbreak and enter the code FASTBREAK to save $3 off any new subscription today. And if you're looking for apparel and gear for your favorite sports team, well, then you should go to fanessentials.net. There you can use the code FBBF to get 30% off your subscription. Fan Essentials hand selects great items and collectibles for your favorite NFL, NBA, or Major League Baseball team. So go to fanessentials.net, use the code FBBF, and get all the essentials you need. All right, and now for our steak and eggs best things. What is your steak and eggs best thing for the last week of basketball?
I'll go back to my well. It's the old Coach Pop hilarity well, and he gives me all of the best things usually. Pop was asked about his relationship with Tim Duncan post-retirement, Tim's retirement. He says, we're like in love. We text all the time. And then he was asked, do you use emojis? And Pop replied, only the ones where you blow kisses. So to me, this is a fantastic little love affair. I'm happy to hear that.
With whom is he speaking here?
He was
talking about Tim Duncan.
Talking about Tim Duncan. Oh, did I not mention that?
No, you did.
I didn't know if he was talking about like urinating and Steve Kerr or something.
Yeah, he did.
Because I want to know about those emojis.
Yeah, pee in a bucket.
Is there a Calvin peeing on something emoji yet?
Probably.
Yes. Can I buy that?
Yeah.
Steve Kerr looks like Calvin. Let's start a Steve Kerr peeing on things emoji.
And
just put a little Nike swoosh on his little biscuit shoes.
Who's the most Hobbs-looking person in
Andre
the NBA?
Iguodala.
Is it Iguodala's Hobbs?
No, Tim Duncan's
Tim
Hobbs.
Yeah, that's true.
He's a very Hobbian.
That feels right.
Mm-hmm.
My steak and eggs best thing, if you were following me on social media, you would have caught on, but this was an underreported story. Mainstream media was not grabbing onto this storyline. We mentioned it last week. Jamal Murray, through three games, was 0 for 8 and had entered the Jacques Watch zone. He had a very exciting game 4, went 0 for 8, and thrust himself into actually getting close to the Jacques Vaughn record of starting the season 0 for 22. In that 0 for 8 game, he actually had a breakaway fast break where he was all alone for a dunk just needed an accurate pass, but the outlet pass was thrown behind him. Did not get the easy bucket. He ended up missing his first 17 shots of the season and career. So Jacques Vaughn, like Mercury Morris, cracked open the champagne, did not have his record taken from him. But Jamal Murray, I think you chasing down that record was probably the most excited I've been in the last week.
It's safe to say you were way more titillated by that than Steph Curry's 3-point record.
Well, here's the thing, and this might bleed over into a worst of week. I don't want to step on anyone's toes, but I'd prepared in my. I know this is good radio to talk about your Twitter drafts, but I prepared a tweet that was, I even forgot to send it. This is how bad it was. I said, Steph Curry has 11 threes and I'm going to bed. The moral of the story, do not have children. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't even send the tweet. And like, I wake up and he finished with 13.
That's
so
great.
It was pretty sad. Anyway, John, what's your steak and eggs?
Well, I put it very simply. The Grizzlies did to the Nuggets on election night what Donald Trump did to an entire nation. And that is to catch them completely by surprise at the very end of the race. But what I love about this buzzer beater, I'm not going to give it to Marc Gasol. I love the whole team effort of the buzzer beater, because he had James Ennis making one of the greatest screens I've ever seen, taking out like two defenders at once. And then Vince Carter, who had his best game as a Grizzly, I think, capping it off with a perfect inbounds pass for a lay-in. With .7 seconds or something like that?
0.7 seconds. I mean, it was a thing of beauty. It reminded me, actually, and this is preaching to the choir, but one of those things where you explain to people how much better pro is to college, people who prefer college, the idea that they scored on that baseline inbounds play just demonstrates, like, that's why they
You mean good Princeton backcut basketball?
Well, yeah. No, that's right. But the fact that they scored easily off a baseline inbounds play demonstrates why when there's a foul call or a violation, NBA teams have to inbound it on the sideline, because scoring from the baseline is so easy.
And I'll get into it more in the Grizzlies epilogue, but Captain Marc Gasol has been a lot of fun to watch.
He really has, directing things. All right, well, speaking of blowing things at the buzzer, what's your cream of wheat worst of week? What's your opposite of steak and eggs? What's your cream of wheat for the week?
Let's go with woebegone alt-right lunatic Spencer Halls wearing a Hillary for Prison 2016 shirt. And being one of the 4% of people that voted for Gary. So I'm glad the election's over, so we probably don't have to listen to Spencer Halls anymore blurting at us to have civil discussion and then wearing a Hillary for Prison shirt.
I mean, you don't think this has emboldened Spencer Halls?
Decidedly uncivil. Well, he's not a Trump man.
Yeah.
So who knows? I think he's just going to continue being a misanthrope. A millionaire misanthrope.
Aren't they all?
Oh, God.
My worst of the week was a specific run. But while we were talking about the Cubs earlier, during the World Series game, the 76ers played the Hornets. And I don't like to discuss on this podcast specifically any sort of plays that happened, because it's hard to transfer that in this media. But it was basically eight.
I think Chuck is subtweeting me and my best of the week in his worst of the week. Is that actually happening?
So yeah. So basically, the Hornets and Sixers played the worst minute of basketball I've ever watched. There was 4 fast breaks, 4 steals, 3 missed shots, 2 turnovers. No, 3 turnovers. It was just an unbelievably awful run of basketball. That it was literally the worst thing that I saw.
I think you nailed it.
And I watched an orange man get elected president. So it was the worst thing that I saw. And goodness gracious, I never would watch another Sixers Hornets game again.
Breaking news. I, in homage to not being in Keith's presence, ordered Chipotle to eat during said podcast. Extra burrito in the delivery, gentlemen.
What?
Oh,
extra
buy
burrito.
One, get one free.
Look at
burrito.
This. Look at these 2 burritos.
John is waving on the video Skype.
It looks like baked potatoes.
Giant baked potatoes covered in
foil.
It
looks like baked potatoes, but it is in fact burritos.
I'm Ubering to you as soon as this episode is done.
That's pretty great.
I'm going to put one burrito on each breast.
My cream of wheat is, again, infringing on maybe Chuck's stomping grounds.
Uh-oh.
The Miami Heat, it's time to talk about the shooting percentages of a couple members of the Heat. Our boy Justice Winslow is currently shooting 31% from the field. Pretty good sample size on 90 shots.
Yeah.
So he's putting them up, and they are not going in. And Dion Waiters is only shooting 31.9%. So that is some atrocious shooting. Not looking great. Not looking good in South Beach.
Stackhausian.
There is Stackhausian. If only they would shoot more. Justice has been like honorable mention, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
He's in the consideration every week.
What's
so
good
far.
About him, though, is that at least he isn't still chucking. He's like, okay, I'm not on. I'm going to take six shots.
He's still throwing out these 2-for-13s, 4-for-14s,
yeah,
and some ugly stuff. So that's my cream of wheat. All right, and now for Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts.
Does Hassan Whiteside no longer cock this mother back?
Oh, Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House presents Scattered, Smothered, Covered Thoughts.
We can't let that reference fade into obscurity.
We cannot. No, that's for our longtime listeners.
I mean, it really it is both of our worlds together, food and a ridiculous
Chuck,
obsession.
You no longer
with
live
Hassan
next door
Whiteside.
To Waffle House anymore, do you?
I don't. No, I live
Ooh,
next.
Sad days.
Yeah, I live next door to a train track.
So. Wait, did you move again, Chuck? From the beginning of the season?
Yeah, this is my second move.
Chuck has lived in three spots since the NBA season started.
Yeah,
since the NBA season started, he's lived in three spots, and he's gotten a Japanese kanji on his lower back that means wanderer.
Yeah. Or a sushi eater.
I'm going to have to Google kanji before I decide if that's bleeped or not.
You're okay. Just means Japanese character.
What are some things that we've been seeing going on? I'll say this could be my second worst of week. It's a cold and dark world. Lance Stephenson, he's gone once again.
Why?
Disappeared back into the ether.
Born ready.
We barely had him.
Lifetime contract.
So he injured himself, had a little groin tear. Got himself waived. Also, Grievous Vasquez.
I know.
He got hurt. Needs some ankle surgery. Now he got waived.
All right, Grieve.
It is a tough life.
Yeah.
Tough life on these streets. So that brought me down.
Steve Kerr, that was when they were going to play the Lakers. He says, I guess it's time for our annual drubbing at the Staples Center by the Lakers.
Yeah, what have they lost just two straight to the Lakers?
Two straight by 20.
They get killed.
They got murdered.
We should talk about the Warriors and Klay Thompson not hitting any shots.
Yeah.
I know it's early. I know we're still in that like 17-game buffer period that the Heat super team had 4 years ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, is it a problem? Is Klay Thompson still drunk from the Olympics?
Yeah.
Drunk with power.
I just think it's, you've got this very... you know, what would be called high-gravity player added to that roster when it was kind of well, beautifully distributed and the hierarchy was great. Now there's this kind of, you know, new alpha dog, co-alpha, that we don't know how to inject him into this offense, and Clay's the one who has to figure it out. A la Chris Bosh, when he was first with Miami, he struggled early on because he went from, you know, now his role is different. But it's effectively the same kind of thing. It's like I have to figure out my place in this, and I think he's thinking too much, and it's affecting his shot selection. So,
yeah. But hey, guys, he started cold last year, also.
Yeah,
that's true.
But I mean, I feel like this cold spell
significantly,
is much bigger,
significantly
much larger,
icier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, in preparation for my post-election pro hoops coverage, I am going to take you guys to China. Where Josh Smith has signed a lucrative deal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. With the Sichuan Whales.
Oh.
That's what I like.
Is that the same team?
3 month, $1.5+ million deal.
That's pretty great.
is
that the one that retired Steph Marbury's number?
I don't think so.
No.
Do the Blue Whales have Hamed Haddadi?
I don't know. This is the Sichuan Whales, which means they have the dry and numbing powders.
Right.
So I like this one.
That's pretty good. We're gonna have to have a Chinese Basketball Association update pretty frequently.
Yeah.
We need to think of a breakfast pun for that.
I did read that Tracy McGrady played in three games in a Chinese league for a team and lost all three games. And they still retired his number. Yeah,
That's just respect is all
that's
that is.
Respect.
So we mentioned it with the Warriors, or at least thinking of that Warriors-Lakers game. The Lakers have actually been pretty improved. And I think our fans in LA have to be feeling pretty good about the team so far, playing 500 ball. being very entertaining to watch.
Well, whomever that guy is coaching him, I think it's Rocky from Mask. He's doing a great job. He's doing a great job. He wants his Coach of the Year award from Steve Kerr. It's rightfully his.
He is really going after the Coach of the Year that he feels was wrongfully wrested from him. But I'm definitely like,
can we talk about Mark Cuban revoking ESPN reporters' credentials?
We can do it on eggshells.
At first, I thought it was like really weird and terrifying, especially since it was Steinemo. But his rationale behind it is kind of hilariously Elon Musk-y and awesome to me. Have you heard about why I don't know if this is why he really did it, but his claim that he's concerned that automated game reports are going to replace human-generated content.
Right. I don't know how he got from that conclusion to I'm not going to credential famous reporters
right
when they actually do want to come. Say,
right.
I don't know how those two things connect in his brain, but I've been told by our upper bosses at FanSided, we should move on. getting paged right now.
Right. Yeah.
Are you on Tim McMahon's payroll? Blogger payroll?
Oh, another thing. The Lakers, when they break huddle now,
yep.
They say, I love basketball. And I think it's because they heard our podcast last week where I opened it with I love basketball. And obviously, Meta World Peace. Not to talk about the presidential thing again, but he said if he was president, Meta World Peace said if he was president, he would allow every person 2 times a year where they can say racist things where they wouldn't be able to be fired or fined. Like he's just
a purge for talking.
Yeah, like a racism purge, and everything will work itself out. You just say it and get it out of your system and everything will be good.
He also said if he had a time machine, he would go back to the Malice in the Palace, and instead of going in the stands, he would twerk his way backwards into the locker room.
Yeah, that's actually, I'm glad. I'm glad he went into those stands and taught those fans a lesson. Because you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't throw things at human beings who are much bigger than you and stronger than you.
It's
there's,
true.
There's laws in the universe.
There's consequences.
And there are consequences for your actions. And that's the thing. You don't do that.
A little schedule quirk. The Nuggets and Rockets have only played one home game after all this. So the Nuggets are 3-4, but they've only had one home game.
Oh.
They also lose close games all the time now. That's kind of a Nuggets thing.
Right.
And the Rockets are looking pretty good. And again, just one home game.
Yes, somehow. So I read a stat that James Harden has this season 4 30-point and 15 assist games.
Yeah.
Last season, there were only 7 of those games.
Yeah.
So he's already this far in the season basically on track to beat the entire NBA last year in that stat. So D'Antoni says that he could possibly average 15 assists a game, which, you know, I mean, if you get up there, it's looking like he'll probably be in the 12 to 13 assists a game range at this point if he continues his pace.
D'Antoni says a lot of things.
He does, but his the pick and roll with James Harden, with whoever they do it with.
Yeah, yeah.
It's incredible. He's scoring points on a ridiculous rate out of pick and roll there, and they look really good
and
offensively.
So,
how are you going to get a chance to name drop Clint Capela and not do so?
Capela?
I prefer the John Capela.
Capela.
Yeah.
He sounds like a one of Dick Tracy's partners, Sam Ketchum and Clint Capela.
But yeah, that's one of those things that we thought the numbers of him just passing to Eric Gordon and Ryan Anderson instead of Corey Brewer.
Right.
You know, like that would be a big boost, and it has been so far.
Yeah.
If Rhino keeps this up, we're going to end up doing a little bit of apologizing to him in bed.
Probably
coming up.
Probably so.
Because he's looking pretty good in that system.
Other numbers that might not continue: DeMar DeRozan leading the NBA in scoring still at 34 points per game. Also, the Raptors are shooting 59% on pull-up jumpers this year. Last year, the Warriors shot 51% on pull-up jumpers. So,
unsustainable.
Taco Bell, whatever it is.
Is it a Taco Bell Biscuit Taco Unsustainable Business Model Award?
That's pretty good.
Can we talk about Paul George kicking a ball in a woman's face?
And getting fined.
And getting fined. And the, you know.
Did he have to pay the fine to her, or what happened?
That's a great question, John.
But
that's what inquiring minds really want to know.
What ended up happening, though, was OPG-13 sent her a wonderful bouquet of flowers to Lindsay, her name. And the card read, Lindsay, I'm sorry for the ball hitting you at the game on Saturday. It was not intentional. I hope you're feeling okay, Paul George.
I'm not loving these.
How would you like to have my next child, Lindsay?
I'm not comfortable.
That was the postscript.
With these punishments that are just, they're handed out based on the result of actions.
Right.
Like is kicking the ball a $25,000 fine,
right,
or the fact that it hits someone in the face?
Yeah.
Look out, folks. Keith's in mommy mode. Keith's in mommy mode.
It's not Mother's Day out, John. It's Parents' Day out. I have to drop my child off. The Clippers look like they might be possibly, arguably, the best team in the NBA. What say you?
Well, according to your newest power rankings, you have not yet anointed them that.
Oh, that is our Patreon-only power rankings that we put out
right,
for our Patreon supporters. No, I'm not ready to anoint them. I don't think they win a 7-game series against the teams.
You haven't yet gotten out the oils?
I put higher than them.
Right.
But they, by all statistical numbers, they're all like offensive rating, net rating, defensive rating. Defensively, they're rated as the best team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Blake Griffin just doing disgusting things with the basketball. His handle looks
really
good.
We sort of saw this coming.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Blake's like whipping around behind his back on the rig, just doing great things. But we sort of saw this coming because this is all or nothing mode for them. It's win or go home.
It really is. And so,
from Jump Street.
So far early in the year, the results are good. One thing I want to talk about, which will bring us to a very special moment, the game of scones this week. Vince Carter of the Grizzlies in the game against the Nuggets. He scored 20 points. Not only is that amazing, because Vince Carter has not been good for years. He did it at the age, as the oldest player in the NBA, 39 years old. So, the game of scones, gentlemen. Which players, since 1963-64, thank you, Basketball Reference, which players older than Vince Carter at the time of the, you know, the game? So, which players over the age of 39 years, 287 days, have scored 20 points or more in a basketball game? There are only six players. So does everyone understand the challenge
so
in front of them?
So you have to be basically 40 years old.
This is impossible.
And to have scored 20 points.
So pretty much...
I don't know if I can name six 40-year-old NBA players.
Obviously these are all-time guys, and all of these people are in the Hall of Fame, or are going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, man.
Oh, man, all the ones I was going to say are already
gone. So they're not random. Like they're all big-time names.
Okay.
So which six players have scored 20 or more points? I'm going to add a twist. If you can guess within a margin error of 3...
Years or games or points?
How many times they did it.
Okay.
So let's say this is not a correct answer. If your guess was Mike Conley...
Right.
And then you could guess, and if you did it 5 times... If you guessed 3, yes, I'll add another point to you.
Is this so
confusing?
So confusing.
You're going to be apologizing next week.
I'm going to be apologizing. All right, so, John, why don't you go first?
Okay, 20 so points?
This player has scored 20 or more points in a game at pretty much age 40 and up.
Let's go Jordan. Let's get it out of the way.
Michael Jordan is correct. Do you want to guess how many times he did it?
5.
Okay, you're not within the margin error. He did it 36 times.
Wow.
Oh.
Over the age of 39 years, 287.
Wow, I didn't think he played that many games over 40.
But there you go. That's correct for John. All right, Chuck.
Well, that was a rollicking good time start.
40 years old? I mean, Tim Duncan?
Tim Duncan did it just before his 40th birthday, and that is correct.
Oh, thank God. Oh, 4 times?
I thought he was getting it wrong. Are you going to...
And
I'm going to say he did it 1 time then.
Yeah.
For a steal.
That was a very obvious hint. But Chuck said 4 times. That's within... So that's correct. So Chuck has 2. Chuck's score is 2.
That's unfair.
John's score is
1. You didn't get a chance for him to even say how many times. I dispute that.
He did say 4. He did say 4. We'll check the tape later.
Okay.
At least I heard him. I don't know if it made it over to your Skype, but I heard it. All right. John, ball's in your court.
Mailman.
Karl Malone is correct. How many times for your guess?
I'm going to stay with 5.
Yeah, he did it 4 times. That's correct, John. 2 points for you.
There we
John
go.
John is winning 3-2.
Get out of my house. How many of these are there?
There are 3 left. There are 3 correct answers left. They're all in our lifetime. And they're all well-known names.
Hakeem Olajuwon?
That is not correct. That's a strike for Chuck.
Kobe.
Kobe did not play that long.
Not old enough.
He's 37
that's
now.
Kobe's my age.
Yeah.
Damn it.
That's a strike for... So one strike apiece. Chuck?
Let's do...
Oh. I'm an idiot.
The who played forever line of thinking is the correct line of thinking.
Kevin Garnett?
No.
Okay.
Two strikes for Chuck. Go, John.
Kareem.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is correct. How many times did he do it?
Let's go with 10.
24.
Damn.
So John is up 4-2. Chuck has two strikes.
You're going home, Chucky. That Chuck's audibly sighing like Brian Williams after the election results come in.
Can I get a team?
No.
I will give Chuck a merciful clue. One of them is white, and one of them has a connection to me.
I got both of these. Can I swoop in and get both of them?
Chuck just nailed it with John Stockton is correct.
I got the other one.
I think
you can tie if you get within a margin of three. How many times did he do it?
Let's go 3.
15.
Oh, wow.
The number we were looking for was 15.
For the win.
All right.
For the definitive win.
For the win,
and
John. Chuck's,
and Keith's clue. I know this very well because I've misspelled Keith's name many times. Chief Parrish.
Mm-hmm. Robert Parrish with the same spelling of Parrish as... myself. That's correct, John. And this is history-making Game of Scones. The first time we've ever gotten every correct answer.
Yeah, that is.
Let's all stand up and take a bow.
Hey, how many times did he do it? You said again.
Oh, we didn't. I didn't even say. Robert Parrish did it 6 times.
Wow.
So really interesting to me. John Stockton did it 9 times over 40, 6 times in the last dying days of his 39 years. I thought it was interesting. Anyway, that was a good Game of Scones. Moving from the Game of Scones. I say we go to the award segment of the evening, the International Stackhouse of Pancakes, which goes to the worst performance in a box.
Is Chandler Parsons showing up?
Chandler Parsons, I gave him a bit of grace, and he only took 8 shots in his first outing. Honorable mentions, Bob Covington, 1-for-10. Kyle Korver, dead-eye shooter, 1-for-9, 4 turnovers. J.R. Smith, 2-for-13, but a little forgiveness because it was on election night. Marvin Williams and the aforementioned Justice Winslow, 2-for-13. Okay, our 3 nominees this week in chronological order as we went through the week. These are the games from November 2nd to November 8th. Mark the Shark Gasol in a win versus the Pels, 3-for-18, 10 points. He did have 11 boards, 6 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks, which is a lot of awesome numbers. 3 turnovers, and oddly, no fouls in 38 minutes. Kyrie Irving in a win also against the Sixers. 3-for-17, 8.7 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block.
Yeah, but one
turnovers.
Of the sweetest between the legs passes ever.
Pretty good. Unfortunately, they made no notation in the box score. So we have Marc Gasol, 3-for-18, Kyrie Irving, 3-for-17, and then Wes Matthews also in a victory against the Milwaukee Bucks. He went 3-for-17. 9 points, 1 board, 1 assist, 3 steals, 2 turnovers, 3 personal fouls. So Gasol 3-for-18, but he filled up all the other stats. And then Irving 3-for-17, 8.7 boards, 2 assists, 4 turnovers. And Wes Matthews 3-for-17, 9 points, 1 board, 1 assist, 3 steals, 2 turnovers. A lot of numbers. I'm throwing my hat behind Wes Matthews 3-for-17.
I want to do Wes Matthews just so we can bring up how awesome Dallas has been when their good players are out.
So is that 2 for Wes Matthews?
They have like 2 straight wins with no good players playing. It's amazing.
Well, I think Wes Matthews is the only person shooting worse than Deion Waiters and Justice Winslow on the NBA season.
Hmm.
You're just trying to get Chuck involved. I respect that.
Do you want to get the unanimous or like do you want to go for guard. Kyrie? Or Mark. Just throw it in Mark's face since it doesn't matter.
Hey, yeah.
Since it doesn't matter, I don't think we've ever even thrown one vote to a Grizzlies player for an iShop.
Oh, I'm sure we have.
Vince Carter lives.
Okay.
Vince Carter is a person.
I hate Kyrie.
All right, there you go. That's what I was looking for.
Yeah.
All right, so congratulations, Wes Matthews. You are the International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award winner. All right, getting out of here before we do our Grizzlies epilogue, what's our par fadeaway? What things are we looking forward to in the coming week?
I'm looking forward to kicking off our Patreon Pickle Pick'em contest that starts this weekend, but that listeners can join at any time because it's a monthly thing.
That's pretty cool.
That's going to be
so
good.
So come get some.
We're picking the weekend winners of games. Is that correct, John?
That's correct.
So we will be giving out a Fan Essentials prize pack for every month of the whoever picks the most, and it's a confidence pool where you assign points to how good you feel about the pick. So that will be a lot of fun and something you can do if you want to get involved with our Patreon, which we hope you will.
Oh, so I'm looking forward to my birthday, which is...
Oh, Chuck's birthday!
The 10th of November. If you're probably hearing this, if you hear the podcast on the day of my birthday, but on my birthday, there's a wonderful matchup between the Miami Heat and the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, it's happening.
When you say wonderful, it's just the Dwayne Wade.
It's wonderful to me because the Heat are favored by a point and a half right now. So that means they probably will lose by 10. So I'm excited. That should be a fun game to see Wade back in Miami. And have a wonderful... I'm curious as to the reception by the fans in Miami of him when he picks picks up the ball on the court there in the American Airlines.
You got to assume they're going to give him just love.
I mean, assume so.
He's the franchise's player. He's their guy.
He's the Dan Marino of South Florida of the last 20 years. So
that steakhouse is pretty overrated.
Oh, Marino Steakhouse?
Marino's, yeah.
Been to like... Airport versions, I bet.
Yeah.
Have you been to Marino's proper?
I mean, I went to a standalone. What am I supposed to... Not in Miami. I went to one in Orlando.
Wait a minute. Are you saying Marino's? I'm thinking Shula's.
You're thinking Shula's.
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking of Shula's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is no Marino's. We just made a place up.
Yeah, it's
But
Shula's.
He does sell isotoners, if you recall.
I was like, I don't remember... A Marino.
Here's the thing: all of Florida and every name from Florida runs together. I can't keep straight what's going on there. Thing I'm looking forward to.
No one can. Hanging Chad joke goes here.
Similar to the Bulls, it's like, will the Bulls keep it up? Like we joked last week, their 3-0 start obviously unsustainable, but their offensive rating is still really good. When Mirotić and McBuckets play together, really good. And so I'm curious if that will keep up and if that will because they still have a really good offensive rating after seven games. And also, as you mentioned, the Thunder, who have been schedule hasn't been that tough. But like, I'm curious to see if these teams are better than I thought they were going to be and weirdly playing entertaining basketball. So that's definitely what I'm checking out. All right. Well, you guys, thanks for checking us out. Stick around if you're a Grizzlies fan or want to hear more about basketball for the Grizzlies epilogue. You guys, check out that Patreon, patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @fastbreakbreak. Head on over to the Step Back for all your NBA entertainment and news. All right, you guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. All right, welcome to the Grizzlies epilogue. Wild week. We'll be covering, I guess it's, three games? Four games. They beat the Pelicans in a very unencouraging overtime win last Wednesday night on November 2nd.
That's how all Grizzlies victories go.
Yeah, and then they had a homestand, three-game homestand against good teams, which did not go very well until Mark Gasol saved them at the buzzer. Also Vince Carter and James Ennis and Coach Fizdale with the awesome out of timeout play.
I can't really give any credit to any team for defeating the Nuggets in a crunch time fashion because that apparently is what the Nuggets now do.
It was a bumbling finish to the game. Lots of turnovers. The Grizzlies had the ball up one with 12 seconds left. And then there were four more turnovers in the game. And the Grizzlies were saved by Mike Conley. Very not Captain Clutch Mike. Dribbling the ball out of bounds on a fast break to win the game, but Mudiay just barely touched the ball. My takeaways from this game is I liked the game in the fact that Fizdale acknowledged that he wasn't going to Zebo enough and needed to finish games with him sometimes. And so Zebo did finish that game. And
he won't get credit in the box score, but the Nuggets lost some rebounds out of bounds when Zeebo was just mauling people doing the Zeebo thing, which is that's the getting the basketball in the mud, like getting the game in the muck, getting it dirty, and that's the kind of stuff he brings. So I was encouraged by seeing that.
I mean, it's been a kind of a tale of like two cities for me because they don't look good. The team doesn't look good. However, I'm enjoying how much like the team has rallied around Mark as the captain, and like Mark's really taken on like a like one of those principal leadership roles that you can see when you're watching them, and how much they love playing with him, and I think by extension Fizdale. So even though the team like doesn't seem very good to me, they're still winning and they're still having fun, so I'm still having a good time watching them.
That makes sense. And I think one of the neat things for me is that they're shooting terribly. I want to say as a team, they're barely shooting 40%, and that's going to go like the worst they've ever shot in their franchise's history, I think, is like 43.7, I think I heard. So like they're barely shooting 40%, they're shooting 41%. They're 4-4. They keep winning these close games, so all the analytics and all the Pythagorean win expectancy thing that the Grizzlies always beat, they're doing that again. So they're driving the mathematicians crazy. Gasol is shooting under 40%. He's not getting easy shots. Some of that is the choice of shot. You know, they're not having him roll to the rim much. But I'm encouraged because, yes, as you say, John, this team looks bad. Chandler Parsons looks like he was just de-iced from the... What was the Han Solo?
He's like a boat that's been dewinterized. The carbonite.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like blind Han Solo.
He's Encino Man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love you. I know.
Yeah, shoots
giant covered three.
Yeah, and he's moving so slowly out there. And again, like Tony Allen played great in that Portland game, but then set out. So like, I mean, they lost to the Clippers, who are playing awesome, and that game was discouraging. But they're still turning the ball over a lot.
Favorite new Grizzly, you can say James Ennis.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about James Ennis.
King James.
Okay.
But they've now stopped. They've turned to Andrew Harrison for, apparently Fizdale said he was trying kind of Wade Baldwin for six games, and now he's going to try Andrew Harrison for six games. Andrew Harrison actually, I thought, acquitted himself very nicely in the Nuggets game, made some big plays. He still picks up his dribble all the time and is so lost on offense, but he did make some big important plays. So it's all up in the air. I mean, I don't know what more to expect from him, but I would like to see Baldwin get worked back in some still.
I mean, other than Baldwin's like breakout game, like his first performance, I've thought Harrison has played better, so I'm not like too upset with Fizdale using him more.
I'm not upset. It's just I was getting excited that like we were incorporating in rookies, and then it's like, yeah. So now I guess when the roster is getting closer to full, we're not seeing Deontay Davis being given any minutes. And it's still, right. To me, I feel like they should be giving him some second unit minutes to help the interior, the rim protection that's just giving up layup after layup. And I want to see Baldwin have the chance to, you know, improve. Because apparently you would assume with no first round pick, almost certainly next year, he's a big part of the future. And so early in the season, I would like to see him get some more minutes. But, you know, it's one of those things where they look mediocre. I thought they'd be kind of mediocre, but the path to improvement is there. And
the Jermichael Green starter thing is kind of like working and not working at the same time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
Explain what you mean there.
Like, it's working in that Zeebo is playing really well against the second unit and just crushing people. It's not working in that I don't think Jermichael's playing very well as a starter.
I mean, I think he's doing his thing. I think he is what he is at this point. You know, it's like we're not looking for him to be any better.
This may be one of those things where fantasy poisons your mind. Because I have him in every league.
Yeah, I got you there. No, it's definitely I think it's funny where I keep seeing things reported like this is the first time the Grizzlies have the preferred starting lineup of Mike Conley, Tony Allen, Chandler Parsons, Jermichael Green, and Mark Gasol. And my response to that always is, that's preferred? Like, there's not anything better? Anyway. All right, well, thanks for checking out the Grizzlies epilogue. They have a couple days off of rest, and then the schedule gets a little lighter, so we'll find out what they're made of. So thanks for checking us out. Again, you guys are the best.
Arrive safely.
And I hope all this audio recorded, because we don't hear any of it, but it looks like it's there.
Okay.